to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 127 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. As always, I hope you all had a great weekend. It was pretty laid back over here this weekend. Friday, met up with the locals after work, hung out at the bar for the truck race. Saturday during the day, did some stuff around the house and real fun stuff. I mean, power wash the deck, the gutters, you know, that kind of knock your socks off entertainment. But Saturday night, watched the All-Star race, of course. Sunday, kicked back, played some trivia, all that good stuff, which is good that I was able to keep a low-key weekend because I needed some energy and to be well-rested for tonight. Tonight, the official kickoff for the big MIS bonus show coming up in just a couple weeks, which I've got some guests lined up for that show at MIS, and I'm going to keep that under wraps for a little while longer. PETM, though, will be joining me live at MIS along with Junker Motorsports. Can't wait for that. And I'm actually going to be hanging out with Junker Motorsports this weekend. So that should be fun. Can't wait for that. Got some giveaways from Firekeepers Casino to give away. I'm sending some people to the race. Got some autographs, swag, all compliments of Firekeepers Casino, which is awesome. Can't wait to do that here in a little bit. And wow, what a weekend of racing. We got everything we love with racing. We had night racing, truck racing, exciting racing, and wow, did we have some drama. Oh, at the end of the All-Star race, that has definitely got people talking and got people very opinionated. I will offer my objective approach to the situation that went down after the All-Star race here in a little bit. You guys have heard me talk about Michigan Sports and Entertainment that the show is a part of. Well, that has morphed. It is no longer just Michigan-based. So the network has grown with a ton of sports and non-sports shows and has a new name, Big Heads Media. So go check out bigheadsmedia.com on the web. A bunch of sports podcasts and entertainment podcasts covering shows, crime, and beyond. And I'm a part of it. So that's awesome. Also, huge show lined up today. As I mentioned, the official kickoff to MIS weekend. Tonight, I've got MIS track president Rick Brenner calling in, along with Jim Wise, VP of Marketing with Firekeepers Casino, the title sponsor for the Firekeepers 400 at MIS, will also be on, which I think is awesome. I cannot wait to talk to a sponsor of a race. I'm so excited to hear all what goes into sponsoring a race weekend. Obviously, I got your updates from the Charlotte Truck Race, the All-Star Race, social media shout-out, silly season. Aaron will be on to talk weather for Charlotte and the jam-packed weekend of racing for this upcoming Memorial Day. Something about some Indy 500, big deal, something like that. I'm not really sure. I got your lucky dog, your lap down picks, fantasy to close it out, and there is a tie heading into the last race of segment one in first place, which is so awesome. All right, that was 4 minutes of rambling for me I wasn't planning on. Let's get the show on the road. Let's get MIS track president Rick Brenner on. Lapped Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his a lucky number 7th appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the track president at Michigan International Speedway, Mr. Rick Brenner. Rick, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? And appreciate you having me on again.
Anytime. You know, you guys are always welcome down the Lap Traffic Podcast. Memorial Day weekend coming up. Any special plans for Memorial Day?
Well, you know, a little bit of family, a little bit of baseball with watching my kids. It's a bunch of little league type tournaments and things like that. But thinking about how awesome the weather is going to be and how awesome a time we're going to have here in June, the 7th through the 9th.
Oh, I cannot wait, man. Rick, this episode, episode 127 tonight, is really dedicated to MIS and the MIS weekend. I've got you on now. A little bit later in the show, Jim Wise from Firekeepers is going to call in, which I'm really excited to talk to those guys. The lead in to MIS weekend has really become a production with the Left Traffic Podcast, and I love it.
Well, that's awesome. We love being on, and Jim's a great guy, so that's exciting, and appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you very much. Rick, you know I get very excited to talk to you because that means we are just weeks away from MIS. Great weekend of racing with the Arca Menard Series, the LTI Printing 250, and, of course, the Fire Keepers 400 on Sunday. Rick, it's got to be rewarding to have returning sponsors come back year after year. How awesome is that? That's got to take a load off a little bit, right?
Well, we're fortunate to have some great partners here in Michigan, and our friends at LTI Printing, and of course, Firekeepers Casino. Very, very, very happy to have them on board. They'll both be back again next year as well. And we've got, of course, three great races coming up here June 7th through 9th with the Arca Menard Series race on June 7th. Of course, the Xfinity race with the LTI Printing 250 on the 8th, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Firekeepers Casino 400 on the 9th. We've got a lot of new things for folks again. Of course, this year's cooler, Rusty Wallace cooler, one of a kind. That includes five beers and a water of your choice for $30 in advance, $35 during the weekend, and $25 for refills. So you can buy the cooler once. You get to keep the cooler. It's got a picture of Rusty Wallace on it, a really nice picture commemorating his wins here at MIS. And then, of course, you can load it up with your favorite beers and refill it throughout the weekend. And it is the only cooler that's permitted within the concert footprint. So for the free concert, which this year is Loverboy, Warrant, and Love and Theft, all on one bill. You don't get 80s metal, classic rock, and country on one bill very often. So that's, of course, free with your Sunday ticket.
What a value. Like I said, the cooler, man. You're not going anywhere and getting that. You're not getting a cooler stocked for $25. That's incredible. I love that. Rick, MIS doesn't disappoint in amenities either. You guys are always updating updated RV campgrounds in turn one, seating options in the grandstand. What's some new features at the track this year?
So there's a couple things we've done this year, and some of them are little, right? So if you're a camper, you'll appreciate the fact that we've done a lot of fertilizing and overseeding to kind of give you a little more of a lush green area to camp. If you're coming out and you visit our Acceleration Club, you're going to appreciate the fact that it's now located right on Pitt Road, right behind Pitt Road, and features air conditioning. It's an air-conditioned tent.
Nice.
It's your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a free gift, and a 12-by-200 deck overlooking Pitt Road, and we bought a whole bunch of outdoor patio furniture and stuff to put on there, but we also bought several sets of nice patio furniture with umbrellas to put out on Fan Plaza as we continue to create that kind of town center feeling in the middle of Fan Plaza with the entertainment and everything that goes on that stage out there. So we're really, really amped up for that stuff. What isn't new is the human cannonball. So if you missed him last year, you're not going to want to miss him this year. He's here this year, and
that
is phenomenal.
That was awesome.
Again, yep, he's back for June. So if you saw it and loved it, come again. If you missed it, by all means, come and check it out. So we've got just a whole bunch of stuff for folks. We also put in a new scoring tower with 12-by-20-foot high-definition video displays on all four sides and a scoring tower on all four sides. So we've got a whole bunch of great stuff ready for folks, and really excited to have everybody out.
That's fantastic. Rick, you mentioned the some $39 seats available, free pit passes for kids 12 and under. Every year, MIS seems to come out with new and exciting ticket options and bonus features, whether it's VIP meet and greets, tickets to Cedar Point. What are some of the new, extras and bonus packages that people can take advantage of?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, the biggest one that returns is our all-you-can-eat seats, and it's just such a great value. It's a $85 ticket, and it includes all-you-can-eat for 2 hours, your seat with a countertop to eat your food on and watch the race. So I think that's the best value in the track by far. We do have other driver packages available this year. Kyle Larson and Eric Jones, to name a couple, and those are great values with your meet and greets and those guys. So really looking forward to continuing to create more and more for everybody when they come out.
That's awesome. Rick, I want to point out, and I think this might be something that gets overlooked, but I want to just let everybody know what an awesome job MIS and the Michigan State Police do in getting people in and out of the track. All the racing and all that, that's great. And everybody wants to get home quick and safe too. And I see people leave with like 25 laps to go. There's no need. MIS has a fantastic tram system that gets you to all of the hundreds of acres out there very quickly. And the traffic people that you have working there on site, getting people out towards US 12 or to 127 and 94, man, you can stay through the burnout, and it's not going to add that much time. So you guys do a great job with that, and I just wanted to let everybody know that.
Well, I appreciate it, and I think it has a lot more to do with the state police and, always pause for a second and just a hats off to all of our first responders, the state police, as well as all the local departments and the fire and emergency services that we have in our country. We're blessed that men and women take the time and choose to do that for a living to make us all safer. So a big hats off and thank you to all of them. And as it relates specifically to us, we really appreciate the job they're doing to help get people in and out of our events and just think the world of the work that they do.
Absolutely. Rick, I can't thank you and Brad enough for all the support. It's been an awesome partnership. It's been fun growing with you guys. I can't wait to see you guys in a couple weeks, but tell everyone again where they can get tickets at.
Absolutely. And thanks for having us. Three great races, ARCA, Menards Series, Xfinity Series, LTI Printing 250, Firekeepers Casino 400, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, June 7th through the 9th. Free concert, Lover Boy, Warrant, Love and Theft. All-you-can-eat tickets, $30 coolers packed with your favorite beers. Kyle Larson, meet and greet opportunities, free pit passes courtesy of Henry Ford Health Systems, free kids tickets for Friday, Saturday, half price kids tickets for Sunday. And all that is at mispeedway.com. Click on MIS deals to find our best deals. And we look forward to seeing you here that weekend.
Awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Rick Brenner, president of Michigan International Speedway. Thanks for always coming on the show, Rick. And we'll talk and see you very soon, my man.
Sounds good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see ya. Always great to talk to Mr. Rick Brenner at MIS. Awesome dude, and it's awesome to talk to him because that means MIS is right around the corner. I am so excited about that. All right, let's get into some race talk from this past weekend at Charlotte. All right, let's talk the truck race from Charlotte. Wow, this thing did not disappoint. Matt Crafton picking up the Stage 1 win. Kyle Busch picking up the Stage 2 and bringing home the checkered flag. How cool is it? Crafton, back-to-back poles. Very cool for that team. Definitely some things that team's able to use to hopefully propel for some momentum here going into the summer races here. And this thing started off crazy. Three wide right at the start. Gilliland takes the lead out of Turn 2. Rhodes takes the lead on the backstretch. Lap one, truck race, set the pace for the racing that we were going to get this weekend. It was a lot of fun. Decker with some issues on lap four, and it took Kyle Busch all of six laps to go from eighth to first and jumped out to an early 1.5 second lead on lap 10. Unfortunately, just like last week, Crafton dropped back pretty quick at the start of things. Good qualifying speed out of that team. Lacks a little short one speed, but able to be consistent at least, picking up some top fives and top tens. But like I said, he was able to bounce back and pick up his first stage win. 18 laps in, Kyle Busch out to a 3 second lead over Gilliland. And, one of the things that, we saw in the truck race and the All-Star race, there were definitely some spacing between the leaders in second and third. It spaced out, but it didn't feel like a spaced out race in the truck and the All-Star race. These guys definitely able to keep pace with the cautions. The racing was exciting, even though, typical Kyle Busch finish in the truck series, batting 1,000. But nonetheless, I really enjoyed the racing that we got this weekend. But I digress. I'll circle back around now. Yellow out with seven to go in stage one as the 54 at Decker brings out the yellow. Leaders bring it down pit road. Kyle with some issues actually on this pit stop. Had to back up in his box before he could get out. Gilliland and Rhodes on the front row to restart with three to go. Crafton was actually able to show a little short run speed, as I mentioned, able to get past both Gilliland and Rhodes, picking up his first stage win on the year. Crafton and Enfinger on the front row to start stage two. Enfinger gets out to the front on lap one of stage two, but last week's winner, Ross Chastain, able to take the lead away from Enfinger on lap nine. But it was Kyle Busch back to the top on lap 12 of stage two. And with seven to go, he is out to a three-second lead and picks up the stage two win. Crafton and Busch on the front row to start stage three. And Busch easily able to make it past everyone and jump out to an early lead. Yellow was out with 57 to go as Gus Dean gets into the wall. And this is where we started to see a little fuel strategy come into play as those not in the top five pitted before the restart. Busch and Crafton out on the front row with 52 to go. Busch again back out to the lead. The two of Sheldon Creed gets sandwiched on this restart, and he had to bring it down pit road. Yellow was back out with 48 to go as the 49 got into the wall. Brought out the yellow, and the leaders this time had to give up position and come down to the pits. Restart with 44 to go with Ross and Tyler Ankrum on the front row. Kyle restarting eighth. Ankrum and Ross getting into each other. Somehow they saved it. If you guys missed that, that was incredible. But this allowed Sauter to get to the lead. But Rhodes was on his tail with about 41 to go. And Kyle Busch back to the lead with 38 to go. And at about 30 to go, Kyle had a two-second lead, a second-place Ben Rhodes, and a six-and-a-half-second lead over Sauter in third. Like I said, I'll tell you guys, while the numbers showed Kyle dominated in terms of laps led and gaps over the field, like I said, it felt like an exciting race. He was not out front just enough to where it still felt exciting, at your mile-and-a-half track of Charlotte. Now, I don't know if we're going to be able to say all that this weekend with Xfinity and Cup, but the truck race did not disappoint as far as I was concerned. A couple notables here. Moffitt, 19th. Three rookies finished 11th, 12th, and 13th with Burton, Creed, and Dipple. And Friesen was able to rebound from last week's fuel issue and finished third over to the standings. Got Grant Enfinger in first, Stuart Friesen second, Brett Moffitt third, Ben Rhodes fourth, Matt Crafton fifth, Johnny Sauter sixth, Austin Hill in seventh, and Todd Gilliland wraps out the top eight. Now, I got to talk playoffs for a minute.
Playoffs?
Yes, playoffs. I know you guys probably think I'm crazy talking playoffs with the truck series, but there are only eight truck races left in the regular season. And from a pure points perspective, there are 10 guys right now with a shot. But I think there is definitely a potential for someone maybe not in the top eight to steal one at a place like Madison, Eldora, maybe even Iowa. And I say that because 11 on back are 88 points plus behind current eighth place. So right now, you got Todd Gilliland in eighth with no win and 253 points. 1 point lead is all Todd has over rookie Harrison Burton in ninth with 252. And then Sheldon Creed is in 10th with 219. You get to 11th, Tyler Dipple, 165. It's the 88 points right there. That's a lot to make up from a points perspective in the truck series with only eight races to go. I think if you are 11 on back, you are going to have to get a win to get in and knock somebody out. That said, that's where I'm bringing up Madison, Eldora, Iowa. That's where who could potentially get knocked out. That's where you got, like I said, I know you guys are calling me crazy talking truck playoffs already. It's May, but I'm telling you, start paying attention, start watching, because the truck series is only going to get better. All right. That said, that's it for trucks. All right. Xfinity. Recap standings after this week when they get back on the track at Charlotte. They're back Saturday afternoon. A little preview to the big day on Sunday with Monaco, the Indy 500, and then the Coke 600. So we will talk some Xfinity next week. But right now, man, Let's talk about this all-star race that we had. All right, so we started with the Open, three stage winners to qualify for the all-star race itself, and then the fan vote on top of that. Stage one of the Open, a 20-lap shootout. Hemric out front for most of stage one, which is pretty cool. Sizable lead over Larson, about a two-second lead with 10 to go. But the caution came out with four to go as BJ brought out the yellow, setting up for what was to be many OTs in the All-Star race here. Some of the leaders came down to set up some strategy and position to start stage two. Restart with Hemric and Larson out front. But Bubba Wallace able to make it and clear as the 42 had a little rub with a little rub there. And Byron sneaks into the picture, bumping off Bubba at the line. And William Byron advanced with the stage one win there. Stage two of the Open, Bowman and Suarez on the front row for stage two. Bowman jumps out to an early lead. Bowman and Suarez literally neck and neck this entire stage. I don't think there was more than a half second lead that Bowman had over Suarez. But with two to go, contact with the 47 of Priest and the 8 of Hemric, who was dominating stage one. So we're setting up for our second overtime of the night. Leaders in for tires and fuel with Bubba staying out, setting up for Bowman and Wallace out on the front row for the OT. 41 with a push to the 43. And the 41 and 43 racing for it on the last lap. 43-41 at the line. And the 41, Daniel Suarez did not make it with Bubba picking up the stage two win, getting a little redemption from stage one. Stage three, 10-lap shootout. Larson able to pass Ty Dillon with about five to go in stage three and cruises his way into the dance, picking up the final stage win of the Open, or as Kyle Larson would like it to be called, the B-Main. And how cool, Alex Bowman picks up the fan vote. So our four advance into the All-Star race were Byron, Bubba, Larson, and Bowman. All right. Let's talk about this all-star race. 19-car field, stage one, 30 laps, and the four of Kevin Harvick gets a great start and jumps out to the lead. Harvick and Busch battling it out 1-2, was able to pull away from the field. 11 to go, and the 18 able to make the pass on the turned-up number four. I think that's how you say that, turned-up number four, with four to go in the stage. And the one cuts a tire, bringing out a yellow. So three out of four stages, we got a late caution sending us to overtime. Leaders down for tires. You know, so I knew at the Open they weren't going to end the stage under the caution. You know, you win, you advance to the All-Star race. So obviously they weren't going to have you or have a stage end under caution. I honestly wasn't sure. They changed the rules so much to this stuff. I honestly didn't know what they were going to do in the All-Star race since there aren't any points or any cash payouts for winning the stage. I didn't realize that they didn't end or that they weren't going to end the stages in the All-Star race under caution. I'm glad they did not. It's set up for some awesome racing. So stage one goes to overtime with the 18 and 2 on the front row and the 18 of Kyle Busch picking up the stage one win. Stage two, the 18 and 4 back out front, slicing and dicing in early yellow as the 6 of Newman slides through the new turf, which looked like sliding on glass. And obviously, this is not the last we are going to hear about Ryan Newman tonight. And the Harvick AF number 4 out to the lead on the restart ahead of Logano and is able to pick up the stage 2 win. Leaders all down to pit. Boyer with the gamble at the end of stage 2, only taking two tires. Which set up for Logano and Boyer on the front row for the start of stage three. The 18 gets into the three and brings out the caution, which helps the four car, who was close to going a lap down after having to come back down pit road for a potential loose wheel. Logano out to the lead on the restart and able to pick up the stage three win. So we got Kyle Busch, Harvick, and Logano with stage wins. 15 laps to decide it all in stage four. Everyone down pit road, and it's Elliott, Larson, Busch, and Harvick all making noise with about 12 to go. And the 20 gets into the wall and brings out another caution. Busch and Larson on the front row on the restart. Larson with the bump and run on the 18 is able to clear with Harvick and Busch battling for second, giving Larson the ability to separate just enough to be able to hold on, pick up his first All-Star win, and being the fourth guy to win from advancing from the Open. I personally love that. I think this gives some credibility to the Open. The fat guys are able to race into the main and go out and win it, which is pretty cool. You know, I saw some comments on social media about why can't we get racing like this every week? My personal opinion and answer to that is because we have a season-ending championship. Teams look long-term throughout the year. If we didn't have a championship, we might have more racing like this each week because at that point, it's trophy collecting versus trying to win a championship. And we can debate the championship and the format of it all day and do an entire show on that. You know, I personally like the fact that you go out to win a championship, and I personally like the format of eliminating drivers. I personally think too many drivers make it into the playoffs. I think 16 is way too many. I'd personally like to cut it down to 12. That would extend the regular season a little bit. And 12 drivers winning in a season is a possibility, much more than 16, which would mean there would be the potential for someone to get a win and not make the playoffs. But I digress. Some notables from the All-Star race. Martin Truex Jr., still winless in the All-Star race and really wasn't anywhere to be seen or heard from. Finished 10th. Bubba, who raced his way in, finished 4th. And Mr. Charlotte, Jimmy Johnson, finished 15th. I will recap the standings next week once we get through the Coke 600 here. So this Sunday night, after the Indy 500, we get 600 miles for a rare Sunday night race. All right. So before I close out the racing from this past weekend, here is my 2 cents that means absolutely nothing to anyone about what went down after the All-Star race. And I'm not going to comment on what went on during the race. Not seeing the field, completely from watching TV. I don't know what was going on lap by lap with these guys, Boyer and Newman on the track. You know, I'd like to consider myself fairly objective. So as an objective person not being involved, sure, I would have loved to have seen both guys out of the car, helmets off. But when you just raced for $1 million, pumped up on emotion, adrenaline, I can see where you're not, level-headed enough to rationalize, let's have a fair situation here. And emotion just takes over. Like I said, we would have loved to have seen both guys out, helmets off, square off, absolutely. But by the time that would have happened, teams and everyone would have had these guys separated. You know, fights don't happen because cooler heads are prevailing. You know, they obviously happen from emotion. Therefore, you aren't going to have the perfect setup. I'm not defending either side. Just trying to give a little perspective. Like I said, I'm not against guys getting into a scrape either. You know, I don't want to see it on the track with the cars because things can get real dangerous from that perspective. But, pit road, garage area, why do people like hockey, for the fights, right? That's what the casual fan's going to say. Most casual race fans are going to say they watch it for the wrecks, right? And us diehards, hate to see the wrecks because we know the money and all that that's involved, and seeing up tore up race cars tears our hearts. I get that. So from that perspective, saying it's for the fights like hockey could be a casual perspective of saying it. But I really, I like the drama that it brings, what's the old saying? No such thing as bad press or bad. Any press is good press, something along those lines. So it brought some attention. I feel bad for Larson a little bit, to be honest with you, because, that stole a little limelight from him, especially from a TV coverage perspective, because as soon as he crossed the line, it felt like they flipped the camera and it was like, oh, shoot, we got to go to Jamie Little at the start-finish line with our winner, Kyle Larson. So I actually felt a little bad for our winner, which, that kind of stuff takes away from the racing. We had great racing out there on the track. So from that perspective, it's a little bit of a bummer. But on the other side, it's drama. It's entertainment. It's what you expect from, racing. So, like I said, no fight's going to be the perfect situation when you're doing it out of emotion. I, like I said, I don't know what went down on the track to know enough. Obviously, you know, you saw some clips of what was going on, but, you know, the cameras weren't glued to those guys 24/7. And you can fault both sides, and it's not my place to fault both sides. I'm just here doing what I do. So that is my take and my rants, and I wouldn't even call it a rant, just my thoughts on what went down after the All-Star race. I think it's fantastic because you know what? We've got a three-day Memorial weekend that's built around racing. Well, no, let's flip that around. Racing's kind of used this as the weekend as a platform to honor the men and women of our country that have served our country, which is awesome. We're going racing. We've got the Indy 500. And, man, you know, they're going to be able to use what went down from a drama perspective to try to build up an audience. And I don't have an issue with what they're going to use from a media perspective with this. You know, a few years back when you had Kenseth and Logano getting into it at Martinsville, you know, they penalized Kenseth, right? I don't remember what it was, but man, they sure use that clip, right? Every time we go to Martinsville. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of drama we get from the Coke 600 on Sunday. All right. Before social media, let's get to our second guest of the evening from Firekeepers Casino. Lap Traffic Nation, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the VP of Marketing with Firekeepers Casino, the race sponsor for the upcoming Firekeepers 400, June 9th at MIS. Lap Traffic Nation, please welcome Mr. Jim Wise. Jim, how are you, man?
Oh, Brendan, it's really a treat for me to be a part of this. You generate so much activity with Lap Traffic that we're pleased and honored to get a chance to jump in and participate a little bit.
Man, you just gave me goosebumps. Thank you very much. I am truly honored and humbled for that. That means the world to me. And to throw it back to you, man, I can't thank you guys enough for the support, sending and donating some pairs of tickets, gift cards, and autographs and all that to give away to some of the listeners. That's awesome. It's been a great way. I love hyping up MIS. It's my home track. I love trying to bump that up as much as possible. So having your guys' support as well is awesome. So thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Jim, so like I told Rick Brenner was on a little bit ago, so this show is really dedicated to MIS tonight to kind of kick off the countdown to MIS weekend, which is really cool. But before we get going on the NASCAR stuff, I got to tell you, I'm no stranger to a blackjack or three-card table, and I just want to let everybody know that if you are going to be at MIS or you're in the MIS area, maybe Friday or Saturday after the Xfinity race or before the ARCA race or, you know, at night, you really can get to Firekeepers in about 30 minutes, and they have an awesome state-of-the-art gaming floor. So you guys do a great job. I've been there quite a few times. You guys have an awesome facility.
Well, we're really pleased with it. It's nice of you to say those kind words. You know, we've got a big property. We've got 2,900 slot machines and 70 table games. And we love this race. We start talking about the race and doing promotions really right after the first of every year. So we don't wait for May or June to get excited about it. We get excited right from the start. So we have kiosks that from now until race day, people can come in and play. And if you play for free, and if you could pick the top 10, there's a $100,000 prize. Plus, there's other prizes if nobody picks the top 10. We're going to have Joey Logano Thursday night before the race. So Thursday the 6th, Joey's going to be at Firekeepers, open to the public, 21 years in age and older, starting at 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And in the past few years, we've had the likes of Kyle Larson and Kevin Harvick and Brad Keselowski, and people have brought in everything from racing tires to all sorts of other pieces of memorabilia, and it's always a fun event. So, you know, if you're a Joey Logano fan or you want to shake hands with the defending champion, we'll have them at Firekeepers on June the 6th.
That's awesome. And I mean, that's quite the draw, right? I mean, you know, it's current champ, man. That's awesome. That's so exciting for people. And that's one of the things that I love about NASCAR, and whether it's race sponsors or it's car sponsors, everyone does their best to get the drivers out there to meet the fans that are the reason why they're all there, which I think NASCAR does the best job for that out of all of the professional sports. So that's awesome. And what a great experience. You're going to be out there. Like I said, you know, people come out to MIS Monday and Tuesday to start camping. If you're not doing any, you know, there's no racing going on Thursday night, go check out Firekeepers Casino and go meet Joey Logano. That's awesome. I love that.
He was at the casino about 4 years ago, and his wife came in and she said to me, I have a tiny little dog. If I hold the dog, can I bring him in? And we're kind of right off of a lobby, so you do not have to traverse far through the casino to find the space where Joey was at. And she said, can I bring the dog in? I said, well, sure, you know, no problem. So she comes in and the people meet Joey and they're shaking his hand and getting a picture. And all of a sudden, everybody looks over. Is that Luigi? Well, everybody knew who the dog was from social media. So, you know, it's just hysterical. And obviously the fans are so sincere and they're so dedicated to their favorite drivers and just to key drivers at large. That I just had to stop and laugh that here they were so excited to see Joey. They were almost as excited to see Luigi, his dog, and his wife with him.
That's awesome. That dog probably has a social media account with more followers than the Lad Traffic Podcast. Jim, I'm really excited to have you on because you are the first race sponsor to be on the show. And I think you're going to provide a unique perspective on the race sponsor side of things for everyone, which is really cool. So let's get in right into it. What goes into deciding to make the type of investment opportunity as a company and organization to sponsoring a NASCAR race?
So for us, you know, we draw people to Firekeepers in Battle Creek, Michigan from a very wide radius. That's for a couple of reasons. One, we're located right on I-94, that principal corridor from Indiana all the way through Michigan to Chicago. I-94 draws thousands of people and brings people through for business, pleasure, vacation, you name it. The second thing is I think we do an outstanding job of guest service. You know, people love staying in our Four Diamond Hotel. Now, they love the restaurants. Obviously, the casino. We have great shows in our event center. So people come into Firekeepers for lots of different reasons. But many times they come from Toledo, Ohio, or Central Ohio, or Northern Indiana, or Eastern Illinois. And that 94 is the reason they're coming from one point to another. And so we don't, you know, we see a lot of people that we might just see a couple times a year,
sure.
You know, and that way we can touch with all those people at one event by sponsoring the Firekeepers Casino 400. Rick and his team draw tens and tens of thousands of people who come in from really wide areas. And sometimes it's one of the few times we can get an opportunity to see them up front, make sure they see our brand name up front. So that's the real reason that this race, easily within 300 miles, draws in so many different people. And that's really our audience. Even if we don't get to see them all that frequently, it's still people that we kind of want to tap on the shoulder and remind them where Firekeepers is, that we're relevant in the business and gaming and entertainment communities. And hey, don't forget, stop in, plan your next trip to Firekeepers. So this race works out perfectly, better for us than a sponsorship with any of the other major sports, no disrespect to them. But a lot of times they have, you know, sold out crowds of, you know, maybe for hockey or basketball is 22,000 or 20,000. And frequently it's the same 20,000. And
sure.
And at NASCAR, different days bring different audiences and it brings huge turnout. So, you know, we started as a poll day sponsor about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We really liked that. And then the opportunity just came when one of the other sponsors had decided to move on. And we were just having a conversation one day and said, you know, I wonder if we could pull this off. And it's a big bite of the apple for a single casino property to do. Well, there's other casino companies who are involved, but sure, for a single entity, it's a lot. So I unfortunately have to say no, because people see us sponsor the race. So I get inundated every spring. I don't care if you race cars or mopeds or motorcycles or boats or kayaks, or I don't care what it is. If you race it, you reach out to me and you say, well, you're the sponsor of this race, so you need to sponsor, you know, my car. And I have to remind people that, you know what, we we take all of our eggs and put them into this one basket, but it's a basket we're really happy to be in also.
That's awesome. You know, you mentioned 4 or 5 years starting with MIS, and that's the number that I thought I had. I thought I was tracking things correctly there, fourth or fifth year. I think this is your fourth year as the title sponsor for the race. You know, and I think what, you know, at least I, as a consumer, as a fan of the sport more than from an investment side of things, you know, it's hard to take into account return of investment for something like this, you know, because it's not hard data. You know, it's not something that you know exactly how many extra people you're going to get come through the casino and stick a 20 in a blackjack table or in a slot machine. It really, like you said, it provides a unique opportunity to get out to people outside of, you know, like those 20,000 Detroit Red Wings fans that are probably season ticket holders for the most part in Metro Detroit. You're reaching a national audience with holding that sponsorship throughout broadcast, TV, commercial, and everybody that comes to the track.
Right. So we calculate the value of all the media mentions of the name of the race. We also calculate a value to all the people out in Fan Plaza that we're able to touch with. And we encourage those people to come look for our tent. We have games for people to play. They can win tons of stuff, from hats to shirts to sunglasses to you name it. So come see us in Fan Plaza. And then some of our VIPs get the most amazing one of a kind experiences, from going out in pace car rides or hot passes to go back in the pit areas or go to a driver's meeting before the race. They get a chance to do so many cool, cool things. And that has an enormous value also. So we calculate and put the whole thing together, and it does work for us. It's a big number, but it's a number that does work. And that's why we're so thrilled. We went through our first contract, and Rick and I were able to sit down. We had a very serious business meeting over a pizza at Clay Vaughn's and near the track.
That is the best pizza place.
You know it.
Oh my God, I love Clay Vaughn's. Oh, that's a great
pizza. He could convince me into anything eating pizza at Clay Vaughn's. But we sat down and worked out an agreement that I think works well for both of us. And we're thrilled to be a part of Rick and his team's future there at Michigan Speedway for the Firekeepers Casino 400.
That's so cool. I love that. Jim, you know, as with the track, they provide unique ticket packages and experiences and all that kind of stuff. What are some package opportunities and stuff like that that people can expect with Firekeepers for race weekend?
So I leave the sales of the tickets to him. So I'm gonna probably not be the best salesperson. What I love about Rick is that what Rick cares about is what we at Firekeepers care about, and that is creating great experiences for people. And on one hand, we have it harder at the casino than Rick does, because we have to do it every day. You can't have good days and bad days, or good months and bad months. You've either got to do it or not. But on the other hand, Rick really has it hard, because he doesn't have this gigantic staff that works there 365 days that he gets to know, that he has to bring in a couple thousand people to work a week, and then they go away and he doesn't see them again. Then they come back in August and he doesn't see them again for 10, 11 months. So I, you know, he's got an enormous challenge, but he has built such a winning culture that I encourage everybody to look at ticket packages, head to his website. We want to see a huge crowd come out, not only because the racing's fantastic, and it is, but also because there's so many different things you can do, and he has built additional food and beverage amenities. He's done additional things with just fun and activities for people, and it's just a great time, and his people deliver great, great service. And so that's, you know, that we have our name attached to something. If the service wasn't so good, we'd be awfully disappointed. But you know what? We're thrilled because Rick does a great job, and he understands the value of bringing fun and entertainment to a ticket holder. And so we're just thrilled for that. So we encourage everybody to get to his website, get to MI Speedway, take a look at the packages, and we look forward to a huge crowd for our June 9th race, for his race on Saturday, for Friday's events, the whole week. We're excited about it, and we encourage everybody to check it out and hopefully join us.
That's awesome. Jim, I cannot thank you guys enough for the support, the giveaways. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. Look forward to working with you guys again next year for the Firekeepers 400. And everyone, make sure, like I said, go check out Joey Logano if you're going to be out in the area of MIS on Thursday night of race weekend. It's real easy to get to Firekeepers from MIS. Just hop on 94 and go, and you will see it. Jim, where can everybody follow Firekeepers at on social media?
So go to firekeeperscasino.com for the website. Our Facebook is one of the seven largest in the country, which for a casino in Battle Creek is kind of crazy. But, you know, we try to put good value into it, just like we were able to hopefully bring some value, you know, to some of your listeners with some of the prizes. We try to put things on there, too. So we encourage everybody to, you know, follow us on Facebook and at Firekeepers on Twitter and Instagram. So, you know, we're pretty active in social media, and we've got about 450,000 Facebook followers. So we care about social media and see the value in it a great deal.
That's awesome. Jim, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Jim Wise, VP of Marketing with Firekeepers Casino and race sponsor of the Firekeepers 400 at Michigan International Speedway. Jim, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Completely my pleasure.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
We'll see you. Lap Traffic Nation, how about that perspective? Man, what a cool dude Jim seems like. Can't wait to go meet him out at MIS. And I've been to Firekeepers many times. I am serious when I'm telling you it's a very cool place. Great gaming facility. If you're into that sort of thing, check it out if you're out at MIS early. Man, just can't thank those guys enough for donating some stuff that I'm actually going to go give away right now. Break fourth wall. It's 7 o'clock, and I'm going to go give some stuff away, and I'll be right back, but you guys won't know the difference. Oh, look at that. See, you guys didn't even know I was gone, did you? All right, so I just gave some stuff away on Periscope. I'm going to go verify everybody, following everybody, and all that good stuff here after the show. And so speaking of social media, everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC, and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. All I got to do is search Lap Traffic and leave a message. Why not? Giveaway, 3,500 followers. About 80 to go, and I get to give away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. Just did the MIS giveaways, which is awesome. And over to some new followers. Shout-outs on Twitter, Timothy Cahilly Jr., at Tattoo49ers, big fan of Dale Jr. Justin Hammock, at Justin Hammock 10 from Georgia, and a big fan of the Truck Series in Austin Hill. You have found the right place for trucks, my man. Brendan, at Blaney Fan 12, big fan of Blaney and Team Penske. The Quiz and Hers podcast, at Quiz and Hers, another great new podcast on the Big Heads Media Network. Karen Rabbit, at Rabbit _ Karen, loves NASCAR and Minnesota sports. And how awesome is this? Tyler Ankrum, at Tyler Ankrum from the Truck Series and Lap Traffic alum, gave a follow, which is awesome. Don't forget to go check out the store. There might be something new coming out in a couple weeks. I am real excited about that. Stickers and koozies, if you want one, visit the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send you one for free. Don't forget to go check out the Support Autism link on the website. Check out Freddie the Pizza Man and what he's doing with his 501c3 charity for autism, putting sensory rooms in schools in Metro Detroit. Freddie's charity is the official charity of the Lap Traffic Podcast. If you donate, make sure you put Lap Traffic in the message, and a portion will go to Freddie's sponsorship of Yonker Motorsports, which is really cool. And of course, last but not least, go check out Big Heads Media, at Big Heads Media. Here's a promo of one of the awesome podcasts you can hear on the Big Heads Media Network. Go check out Super Media Bros.
I'm Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okami.
We are the Super Media Bros podcast.
Each week, we give a comedically informative take on movies,
music,
television,
video games,
and much more.
Put your shades on and listen to all episodes on supermediabrospodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah.
Shades on.
We're off.
That is a very cool podcast. I can tell you guys, I've listened to a couple of their shows. It is really cool, so go check them out. All right. Business is done. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line. Lap Traffic Nation, back again for his weekly weather report, the ever so wonderful Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Oh, just dandy. Just dandy.
just dripping with sarcasm. Yes. I love it.
Yes. The last 5 minutes have been very interesting. The mic stand's fallen. Tried to get ahead on some stuff. Ran late with you. You know, it's, you know. I may cut it a little close on Tuesdays, trying to drive, you know, 45 minutes from home and start doing the show at about 5:30. But
anyway. Especially since you think your commute will only take you 45 minutes.
Well, I mean, I do. I'm out the door at 4:27 on Tuesdays, and I'm normally home by 5:10, 5:15. And then it's like, all right, print off the final sheet of the show and start recording with you and then, you know, wrap up everything else. So
sounds good to me.
Yes. Well, sir, we have a lot to discuss tonight. First up, news out of Ann Arbor that Fab Five Juwan Howard could be the next coach to replace Beilein. And as I was driving home, it sounds like that's what's going to be. I'm not thrilled with that, if I'm being honest with you. Dude's never coached college, and he's been off the bench since 2013 when he left Miami. What is your thoughts?
I'm not quite as negative as you are, because I think – I know where that bar is kind of set.
Right?
I'm thinking the analogy I'm going to have is how well Penny Hardaway is doing at Memphis.
Okay.
That he's able to go in and recruit. Now, he can go in and get the talent, but it's going to be like a Harbaugh where he can go in and get the talent, get all these five stars, but then when you get him on the field – what's going to happen? Because I think Juwan Howard will be able to walk into people's houses and say, I want your son to come to get his education and play basketball at Michigan, and here's why.
Sure.
And I think he will do a great job with that. But X's and O's, sitting there talking to the kids, sitting there talking to the media,
yeah.
I don't know how he's going to be.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, I think they rush through the process. I think they, you know, I get you want to get someone lined up so you can start, you know, on off-season stuff and try to save losing any more recruits based on the name that you bring in. But, I mean, I obviously, if I were to be paid to do that, I wouldn't be sitting here and I'd be, you know, but from the outside fan perspective looking in, it just looks like this has been a little bit of a rushed process. I hope to be
well. They've had enough. Well, here's the thing: they kind of knew last year when the Pistons came courting that he was going to be looking for an opportunity. And I believe, and I've read, so you know what you read and what you believe aren't always the truth.
Yeah.
And saying that Ward Manuel, the AD, had put together a list of potential candidates and said, "This is who we're going to look at." Okay, now we've arranged Ed Cooley, the Providence head coach, a nice race. He's staying at Providence. So you've got a list of candidates left. Billy Donovan's really been nowhere on the radar since like the initial reports.
Yeah.
And so they're really coming down to, and I'm drawing a blank on the University of Shaka Smart at UT, did a great job at VCU, has been out of his league. At UT, at Texas. And so if you're coaching at University of Texas and are overwhelmed there and can't compete there.
Yeah. No.
Okay. You've got Kansas.
The Big Ten. Yeah.
No, you're going to struggle coming to the Big Ten. So you put him aside. You have the two assistants that I know that I've read, I think it's in the Free Press, that they're being talked to today and they're going to talk to him. Now, if you bring in Juwan Howard and keep that defensive assistant, he stays, I'm not sure if a person who gets passed over for the job necessarily wants to stay.
Your head coach wants to bring in his own guys as well for, you know, the assistant coaches and that as well.
I think that would have been a done deal by now too.
True. That's possible. Yeah. I see where you're going with that.
Or be respectful, or the other side of the coin is he's being respectful to Michigan and saying, letting them have their chance. And if they don't get the job, then they're going to say, hey, we'll bring you in.
Yeah.
Just kind of a handshake agreement at that point.
Yeah.
So I know my opinion. I know your opinion. What is the local media saying? What is the sports talk saying?
You know, I'll be honest. I only listened to sports talk this today on the drive home. I didn't listen to it yesterday. They're kind of on my sentiments, especially the one guy on 97.1 who's a diehard Spartan, went to U of M, or I'm sorry, MSU. And he was like, you know, he goes, if I'm Izzo, I'm sleeping a lot better tonight knowing Juwan Howard's coming in than, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I get it. You know, and he was a lot harsher than I even was. He's a Spartan, you know, so that's fine.
More but, right. But yeah, you're going to want, if you're going to want to see your competition hire maybe the worst guy for the job.
Right. Yeah. You know, my thing is, you know, it's been a long time. And a slow development to get Metro Detroit excited about U of M basketball. And it's been a fun few years and going out and watching big games and having parties around basketball, not just big football games. So it's been a lot of fun. And I just would I'm not going to say it's going to be gone, but I would hate to see that potentially slip. You know, it's been fun the last few years with basketball. So.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. But the two assistants are going to have the same name panache.
Oh no, not
either.
At all. No, I'm not there.
Yeah, so I think it feels like from the outside looking in, and it feels like they're kind of lost in the process.
Who is?
Michigan.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Alrighty, sir. What do you say? We've got lots of weather to talk about. It's lots of races coming up on Sunday and Saturday with the Xfinity race. Let's hit it in order. We got the Xfinity race Saturday afternoon. How is the weather looking for that?
I actually want to take a step back and go to Thursday. We have we have Cup qualifying.
All right.
7 o'clock Eastern, and then a late start for the ARCA race, 9 o'clock.
That is
the only reason. Yeah, the only reason I'm kind of hitting it, because it's going to be partly sunny. There is going to be a chance for isolated showers and thunderstorms.
Okay.
So hot it's actually going to be the coolest day of the 4 days, so I don't want to skip over Friday either. 87 for the high, 69 for the low. But with Cup qualifying and ARCA qualifying, so I guess when do we need our picks in for a live traffic podcast for fantasy for doing Cup qualifying on Thursday?
Well, I mean, you have till Friday to get them in.
Okay. Just making sure. Yeah, you got till Friday. Okay, good. Yeah. So we might be qualified on points. So I have to keep an eye out. It's around the 20% chance of rain. So I'm keeping it isolated, but I definitely wanted to put it out there. Like, we did have that storm on, Saturday night at the All-Star race. That was about 30 miles south, and you could actually see it in some of the shots, looking towards turn one and two. It was a pretty impressive looking storm that dissipated pretty well. But yeah, it was worth putting in the discussion. Friday, they'll be on the dirt track, which is always a lot of fun.
Yes.
Partly cloudy skies, 94 for the high, 70 for the low. That'll be the late afternoon and evening. So it'll start cooling off. Now we get to where we want to talk about.
Look at that. Two bonus forecasts for everybody. There you go.
I tell you, double your pleasure, double your fun.
Right.
And quadruple the racing, I guess, because yes. We actually have the ARCA racing. We have dirt track racing and four nights of racing. We'll have the ALSCO 300 with a 1 o'clock start.
Yeah.
Mostly sunny skies, 95 for the high, morning low 71. It will be humid. It'll be summer in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Sunday, we're going to wrap it up with the Coca-Cola 600, a 6 p.m. start, mostly sunny skies, high of 95, again, morning low of 70. So you're going to be starting that race about 6:15, I guess, with the TV and flyovers and intros and all that good stuff. So about an hour and a half to 2 hours before sunset, transition into the night. We go even further into the night and just hope for not a lot of cautions, because I prefer the race to be over before midnight your time.
Yeah.
That is.
So it gets a little late.
It does get late. It is a full day of racing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, at least the weather looks pretty good for this weekend. So we got that to look forward to. And it's Memorial Day weekend, hopefully a 3-day weekend for most of you out there. Well, sir, now that the weather is all taken care of, you've got some information that you would like to share with everybody, sir. So the mic is yours, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's going to go to I appreciate the working together with you for the last year and a half on this and look forward to it going forward. So the announcement that'll be on Twitter later tonight, and I want to let this go out on the podcast first and I'll follow it up, is due to extenuating circumstances, effective May 28th, 2019, I'll be taking an indefinite hiatus from raceweather.net. I will no longer be affiliated with the website or its social media. And thanks everyone for your years of support.
Man, that's just crazy. So here's what I just want to let everyone know. This is not the last that you will hear from Aaron on the show. This is just the last weather report from Aaron. Aaron is obviously going to come on and talk racing once in a while. And of course, we'll be on to talk some Big Ten sports. So, Aaron, you are and will still be a part of the Lap Traffic Podcast.
I sincerely appreciate that. And to all the followers, just watch after the Coke 600. I'll be making some changes to the website. I'll be changing my Twitter handle so that's so I can keep my followers and the people I follow instead of having to go back to zero. I'll still be on social media as well. NASCAR, F1, any other racing, as we've talked before, anything with four wheels and turns fast and goes fast and it can turn right and left. So I'm pretty good with pretty much anything racing wise, Michigan sports, bragging on my son, and just general social commentary. Although I do try to keep the social commentary to myself. So raceweather.net was going to be run through a company called Briscoe Web in Mooresville, North Carolina. They're actually right next to Roush Fenway.
Oh, cool.
So they have, yeah. I didn't know that until I was talking to the president of the company earlier this week. So they have a real commitment to racing, race fans through their organization. That's why we started working together, because they saw the value in the service. They're going to keep that updated. That'll be on them. So ironically, I may actually be replaced by an app.
Nice.
Brian, I'll love that.
Right. So as far as weather segments go, Lap Traffic alum and partner with Aaron on the race weather, Brian Newdorf, has volunteered to leave a weather report on the Wave Around hotline, which is awesome. Unfortunately, Brian's schedule and with the time difference is just a little difficult to get him live on the show. Might try to work in some other people and things and see what happens with Aaron in the long run. So in the meantime, Brian is going to be filling in with a recorded weather segment for everyone. And Aaron is, like I said, he's just signing off as Race Weather, but he is not signing off as Aaron Studwell on the Lap Traffic Podcast. And Aaron, I just want to let you know, I love the friendship that's come of this. Off
yes.
and on air, your weather updates, spot on. Your partnership with the Lap Traffic has been awesome and a value to the show. I can't thank you enough for your dedication to the show. Aaron, you started back on episode 55, have been here for 50-plus shows each week outside of off weeks and the off season. You've called in halfway across the world to do some of these reports while traveling. And like I said, I can't thank you enough for being a part of the weather segment each week. And I look forward to having you on in the future as not Race Weather, but Aaron Studwell.
Yes, I will second all of that. And the friendship that we have developed both on and off air has been wonderful, has helped in some hard times. And I may not say it enough, but it is truly appreciated.
I feel you completely. We'll make sure we keep you all updated on Aaron's new Twitter once he gets all that situated. Lap Traffic Nation, until next time, sir, it's been a blast, and we will talk to you soon.
You most definitely will. Take care, and thanks for everything.
Absolutely. Well, a little bit of unfortunate news there from Mr. Aaron Studwell, but that is okay. It's been a blast having him on. The weather segment's not going away anytime soon, and Aaron's not going away anytime soon either. He will be back on just a little less frequent, if you will, there. So big thanks to him and everything he's done for the show. Let's keep things rolling. It is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. You guys know what to do after the drop of the checkered flag. Tweet your Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks for the race weekend, or you can call the Wave Around hotline 248-965-9538. Leave your picks I'll play and read things back on the show. It's time for my picks. My lucky dog of the race weekend is my die-cast collection because I have pre-ordered the number 4 millennial car. My lap down is also my die-cast collection because there are other cars that are now going to be with the millennial car, along with a second lap down, my stage 1 picks in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League segment 1 that is almost over. Cannot wait. Segment 2 can't get here soon enough. One more week to go. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. Rowdy Dragon at the Rowdy Dragons. Lucky Dog, alas, the 42 team of Larson shows what they're made of. Lap down, Ryan Lumpy Newman. Clint got him some beer muscles. Wow. Mick at GoDucks42_Mix. Lucky Dog, Young Money got that monkey off his back and the money, Mick. He got the money, too. Lap down has to be Boyer. Can't be a tough guy with your helmet on and the other guy in the car. Fred at Fred Rose, Lucky Dog 43, lap down 14. Jared at JTM0086, Lucky Dog. Bubba, lap down. Denny, Jesse at Iowa NASCAR Fans, Lucky Dog. A lot of possible lucky dogs, but she's giving it to Brennan Poole. He was wheeling that 30 truck Friday night. A lap down Boyer. I give him props for having balls to go after Newman, but take your helmet off. Come on, man. Seems to be a common theme here. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's Lucky Dog. Bubba, he wasn't going to be denied. Tremendous night for him and the 43 team. A lap down Newman. I don't think turning the 14 head on into the wall after the checkered flag was the smartest decision. John at DNator's Lucky Dog, the 4 car, not Harvick. That car raced like a beauty, but it settled for the participation trophy. Lap down, all the hate on Decker on Twitter for the spin. She's had 1 year in ARCA and is part-time in trucks. Still learning. Cut her some slack. All right, that is it for the tweeted responses. Let's get to your wave around hotline call.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I didn't get to see the truck race on Friday night, but I absolutely loved the racing I saw on Saturday night. The Open was a lot of fun. The All-Star race was great as well. I was completely entertained by the Boyer versus Newman spat. I know it's stereotypical NASCAR, and we don't need that every week, but if we have something like that every now and again, I'm good with it. It was fun. My lucky dog this week has to go to Bubba. After the tough time he's had lately, I was so happy to see him race his way into the All-Star and then to see his emotions afterward. That was just the best. And putting a big cherry on top of that was his friend coming over to give him that great big hug afterwards. If you didn't tear up seeing that, you have a heart of stone. I just loved that. It was very cool. And my lap down this week has to go to the hotel I stayed in on Friday night for not having FS1. I drove like the Dickens to get there in time to watch the race, and lo and behold, they didn't have that on their channel lineup. All hotels should list on their website what channels they have so we can make wiser choices when we stay there. Anywho, that's all I have for now, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for your continuous support and calling in. And thank you for not giving me the lap down 2 weeks in a row because I very well deserved it. I accidentally deleted Kathleen's voicemail call, sent her a tweet, and it's like, hey, could you record it? I deleted it. I was checking to see how many messages were there. And so thank you for calling back in and leaving the message there. And just to comment on your picks there, absolutely, to Blaney and Bubba. It's awesome to see friendship like that and camaraderie and the support there. It is very cool to see. It's something that we probably don't have enough of. So that's awesome. And yeah, that's a bummer on the hotel for sure. And I agree with the commercials there. All right, let's get to call number 2.
Hey, Brandon, John Warrington at Racing_64. The All-Star Race and Open were very eventful. It was some great racing this weekend. You got Bubba racing his way in, having a great night was huge. Larson racing his way in and then getting the win was cool. And the racing was just good all over, all around. For lap down, I've got a lot of options. I could say Kyle Busch for running another truck race at Charlotte and winning. If he's only going to run five races a year, why does he run that one when he's already won that race seven times? I mean, that's like playing Uno against a four-year-old. If you don't, as long as you don't screw up, you're probably going to win unless something happens. So I would think he would maybe want to challenge himself a little more than that. So that's an option. I've got to say Clint Boyer for not necessarily throwing punches at Newman, but kind of sucker punching him the way he did. And then Starcom Racing again. Guess what? 4 weeks in a row with fuel pressure problems. This is getting really old. But the official lap dog is going to be, or lap down is going to be Kyle Busch for me. And for lucky dogs, you could say Bubba Wallace, but I'm going to say Kyle Larson getting the win. I think that is huge for him and NASCAR as a whole. I think NASCAR needs Kyle Larson more than Kyle Larson needs NASCAR. He needs to be doing good. He needs to be winning because I think if he starts to fade a little bit and isn't a contender, he might just say that's enough and he's going to go sprint car racing. So we need him to be winning and doing good so he wants to stay. So it's Memorial weekend, so we've got the greatest day in racing coming up. Can't wait. Thank you.
Hey, John, thanks for calling in again. Appreciate that. You know what? I agree. NASCAR, I think, needs Kyle Larson. He brings some excitement, knowledge, definitely a lot of skill. Exciting on the track because you got a lot of guys that like to run the bottom, and it's fun to see someone go up there and hug the wall like he does. He's good for the sport, so I agree there. And, yeah, definitely got the greatest day of racing coming up here in just a couple days, which is awesome. Hope you have a great Memorial Day. All right, got one more call on the Wave Around Hotline.
What's up, Brandon? It's Andrew. Disclaimer, unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the All-Star race. I had my graduation party that night, so I missed a lot of races this year, which will suck. But anyway, I don't have much to say about the race. I'm going to give Kyle Larson and Bubba Wallace my lucky dogs. No doubt, those guys really have had tough years in different ways, so it's good to see them have a little bit of success. Damn, Bubba finished fifth. That's freaking awesome. Good for those guys. I got a bone to pick with Mr. Boyer and Mr. Newman. More or less with Boyer. I mean, come on, dude. Like, if you want to fight someone, that's totally fine. But number one, take your helmet off. And number two, let the guy get out of the car. Make it a fair fight. I'm not going to really blame Newman on this one, which is surprising for me because I'm not the biggest kidney stone fan. But Boyer was in the wrong, dude. Quit being a bitch. Take the helmet off and let just fight. It'll put on a better show for fans instead of you walking up to his car like a coward with a helmet and punching him. I mean, really, dude? Whatever. I'm not too happy about that. I don't never like to see guys with their helmet on. People always say, oh, Newman's the guy you don't want to fight, but, I mean, Boyer didn't really get a chance, so we couldn't really test that hypothesis. You know, lap down, the two people who blew motors at this graduation party, shockingly enough, Barf. His motor survived. So we'll see him hopefully at the 600 this weekend. No guarantees he'll last Memorial Day weekend, though. Have a good one, bud.
Oh, Mr. Andrew Cancian, thank you for calling in. You know, as I mentioned a little bit ago, you know, emotions are definitely going to get the best of you when you're ready to go, you know, try to jack someone up there. So, you know, I get it. Yeah, we all would have liked to have seen that. Not the way it went down. But, again, that adds to the storyline there for sure. Thanks to everybody for calling in. That is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and a Lapped Down segment. All right, you guys know there's only one thing left. It is time for some fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Keep all that Twitter interaction up. And there is only one race to go in segment one. So if you've stopped playing, make sure you pick back up after Charlotte. Or if you want to join in, visit the website for rules to how to get in to start segment two. No winners in the there were no winners picked in either race because no one could take Kyle in the trucks because he won, and no one picked Larson in the All-Star 15-point bonus, which, let me tell you, if somebody had, that could have made the difference in the standings. Week high was 49 points by Jess Rose and Eddie Greer with their picks at Crafton. Let's see. My picks of Enfinger and Martin Truex Jr. got me a whopping 44 points. So drum roll, please. We have a two-way tie for first heading into the last race of segment one. Greg Whited and Robert Keplinger are tied in first with 1,241 points. In second with 1,230 is my uncle Matt Crowd. In third with 1,218 is the MOATF podcast. In fourth with 1,215 is Jess Rose. In fifth with 1,202 is Ted Anderson. In sixth with 1,199 is Brad Carnes. In seventh with 1,197 is John Entwistle. In eighth with 1,152 is Mick Rose. In ninth with 1,144 is Michael Elliott. And wrapping out the top 10 with one race to go with 1,140 is Rob Neppinger. And I can tell you guys this right now, the MOATF podcast has confirmed they will be on next week for the picks for season two. Can't wait to have those guys back on the show. Lap Traffic Nation, how perfect is this? With 1 week to go in segment one, like I said, we've got a two-way tie for first. I could not have scripted it any better. Greg was able to hold on to a first-place lead, and Rob was able to make his way back into first. So what better way to end segment one than with both guys making their picks as we head into Charlotte and the 600 with a tie? And these two guys are on the line right now. Greg, how's it going, man?
All right, how you doing?
Excellent. Congrats on staying in first. You didn't lose it. But Rob, what's going on, man?
Hey, not too much. Enjoying the warm weather.
Welcome back to first.
Thank you.
Greg, what'd you think of the racing this weekend?
Oh, well, I actually enjoyed it. Of course, my pick didn't win the All-Star, but it was all in good fun, and I thought it was a pretty good race myself.
I can't disagree. I thought it was great. No one picked Larson, so no one was able to gain on you guys. I think that helped you guys with nobody picking Larson. Rob, what did you think of the racing this weekend?
Well, I'm a Larson fan, so I loved it.
Where were you, man?
Yeah, I know. I didn't expect it at all.
So. I know, right?
I couldn't shoot myself in the foot, so he was in the open.
That's true.
So he had to pick somebody that's locked.
Yep. All right, well, you guys have an 11-point lead over my uncle in second and a 23-point lead over MOATF in third. So let's see who prevails as the segment one champ here in Lap Traffic. We are headed to Charlotte for 600 miles of Sunday night racing to celebrate Memorial Day weekend. Martin Truex Jr. has dominated as of late at Charlotte, winning the fall race in 2017 and the 600 back in 2016. You know who else likes this track? You guys know who I'm going to say. Jimmy Johnson, 8 wins at Charlotte and 4 600 wins speaks for itself. But it's been a Chevy and Toyota dominating manufacturers at Charlotte as of late. Ford's last win at Charlotte coming from Joey Logano back in the fall of 2015. And you guys aren't going to believe this. It has been a very long time since Ford won the 600. How long? Well, Dodge has won a few since. That's how long it's been. The last Ford to win the 600 was Mark Martin back in 2002. I definitely think Ford is overdue for a 600 win. The question might be what Penske will do it. Let's get to the picks. Guys, let's start with Greg. Who do you have for the Xfinity Series?
Well, for Xfinity, I think I'm going to go with Tyler Reddick. He seems like he'd be a pretty solid pick just about anywhere.
I like that pick. That's pretty solid there, sir. Rob, who do you have for the Xfinity Series?
Cole Custer.
Good pick as well, I think. I am going with John Hunter Nemechek, and I just apologize up front now for everybody I picked because it's just doomsday. So fortunately, you guys don't have that, so you should be safe from there. Let's move over to the Cup Series. Greg, who do you got for Cup?
It was kind of a toss-up. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. He's pretty tough. He's too hard to go against right now.
I can see where you're coming from there, sir. And Rob, who is your take for the Cup Series?
I'm going to go Kevin Harvick.
Kevin Harvick, four to get it done. I, too, am going with a Ford, but I am going with Mr. Blaney. See if he can't spark something up and maybe give me some momentum to head into segment two here in the Lat Traffic Fantasy League. Those are our picks. Gentlemen, good luck in the last race of segment one. Maybe we'll be talking to one of you guys in the very near future. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Guys, thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. May the best guess win.
Absolutely.
See you, Brandon.
Take care, guys. All right, Lat Traffic Nation. That is going to be a wrap for episode 127 of the Lat Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelattrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lat Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lat Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Check out Pretty the Pizza Man's Autism Charity link on the website. Can't wait to go post these prize winners. Big thanks to MIS Track President Rick Brenner, Firekeepers Casinos, Jim Wise, Aaron Studwell, Greg Whited, Rob Keplinger, all for calling into the show tonight. Next week, this is going to be a good one, guys. NASCAR Chasm makes his return to the Lat Traffic Podcast. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lat Traffic Podcast. See ya!